the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Caudette. This is Idaho Matters. It seems everyone is talking about the economy. Will Idaho's unemployment rate keep going up? Will we see a recession? And if interest rates flatten out, how will that impact our state's crazy housing market? And will an election year make a difference to Idaho's economic situation? Last June, we got an update on Idaho's economy with Jason Norris. He's the principal of research and portfolio management at Ferguson Wellman, but he was born and raised in Boise, so he knows all about the Gem State and how our economy works. And we wanted to check back in with him and get a roadmap as we enter 2024. So welcome back to the show, Jason.
Oh, glad to be back, Gemma.
Okay, so let's just start with Idaho's unemployment rate, if we can. It was 3.3% in December. But Jason, when you and I talked back in June, it was lower. It was actually at 2.7%. So I think that has some folks wondering, hey, what does that mean? Are we going to see a recession again? And could it be a hard landing?
So at current levels of unemployment, Idaho, it is still very low looking at history. And it's still below the national average of 3.7%. So while there has been a tick up in the unemployment rate, the employment situation in Idaho is still very strong. And this is what the Federal Reserve wanted to do over the last, let's call it 18 months. They wanted to, you know, slow the economy. And usually that means more people get laid off. But we're still in a very healthy position with respect to the jobs market, both in Idaho as well as nationally.
Mm-hmm. So back in June, we also talked about the really high interest rates and how that was impacting Idaho's housing market, but also day-to-day things like credit cards, Jason. So first question, have those interest rates peaked?
We believe they have. We believe the Federal Reserve is done raising rates. And when you look at the benchmark 10-year Treasury rate, it peaked in October of last year, around 5%. And that interest rate is very important because that's where mortgages are priced off, that 10-year Treasury. And so we believe going forward, we're at a new normal level, around 4%. And that means, you know, mortgage rates will be down a bit, but you're not going to see mortgage rates or credit card rates come down to where they were, let's call it, in the before the COVID crisis.
Okay. And that was going to be my next question. So if they top out at 4%, I would think if you are looking to maybe purchase a home or something like that, you know, that's going to be the standard rate instead of waiting to see if it drops down to, like, you know, 3%, 2%, something like that.
You are correct. You know, unfortunately for first-time home buyers, there's going to be sticker shock when they go to the market and get a mortgage rate. But most mortgages are locked in. Homeowners have locked in low rates. But housing is going to be tougher for those looking to move or, you know, those first-time home buyers coming up because the cost of credit's higher. Now, if you look with respect to longer term, 10-year Treasury rates around 4% is the long-term average. But over the last 15 years, it's averaged 2%. So people are just used to lower rates. And now we're at a new normal.
So let's talk a little bit more about the housing market in particular here in Idaho. I mean, of course, those high interest rates impacted our housing market. But here's something I think that we have that maybe other markets don't necessarily have to this extent, Jason, and that's that we have a really tight housing market. So what we're finding here is we still have a lot of demand. We just don't have a lot of supply. So if the rates, let's say they're not going to fall more, but let's say they stay the same at this 4%, is that going to still mean that there's going to be more strain on our housing market here in Idaho? And then adding to that, as you mentioned, we have a lot of people that moved to Idaho who are looking to buy a house. So how does all of this play into how it's going to impact the housing market here in Idaho in particular?
Yeah, so specifically to Idaho, you hit the key points. The economy is strong in Idaho. It's a great place to live. People are moving there, and there is a lack of supply. And so even with rates a little bit higher, there's a lack of supply of homes. There isn't much inventory. So when you look at real estate, it's a classic case of supply and demand. And so strong demand, low supply means home prices stay higher longer. And, you know, that's tough for you know, first-time home buyers. So if you own a home, you know, you're not going to see a crash because of higher rates. But if you're looking to buy a home, You need a lot more money to get into that first house.
Well, and we're still looking here in Idaho, where I think that the average home is staying on the market for right under 2 weeks. And granted, that for some people seems like such a long time compared to those days, when a house barely even went on the market and they had a ton of offers. But Jason, I would assume that even that plays into folks and trying to buy a home. As you said, there still might be, bidding wars, even if a home's only on the market for 2 weeks, because we don't have a lot of supply.
Exactly. That, and the other thing we're seeing is that current homeowners who would like to move and, don't need to move because they have a low mortgage rate, they're not going to put their home on the market. And so even though the average period on the market's 2 weeks, that lack of supply of new houses as well as existing homeowners is just going to remain low. And so when something comes on the market that's attractive, it wouldn't surprise us if there was a bidding war. And there's a lot of outside of Idaho money coming in. And so there are people coming in with cash offers, and it's keeping those prices higher for longer.
So in the middle of last year, Jason, when we chatted, we also talked about Idaho being flush with cash. So we just started our legislative session, and this year in the session, some Idaho lawmakers are talking about saving money and tightening the state's economy. In your opinion, is that a good strategy?
So, with respect to economic growth, fiscal stimulus, so state spending, is a positive. However, it all comes down to the priorities of the legislature and where they want to pare back. You could argue that if they tighten their belt, does that lower taxes and therefore leave more money in the pockets of the citizens of Idaho? Then that's a positive, and if they go out and spend it, so. It depends on where that money is being cut from and what programs. I think that would be the key.
So you said in June last year, about 6 months ago, that it looked like inflation had peaked. So here we are, 6.5 or so months later. Where are we on inflation here in Idaho?
Broadly, inflation did peak back in the summer of last year. We've had inflation measures coming out over the last couple of weeks, and it shows it's right around 3%, and in some cases, closer to 2%. So broadly, inflation is back down to levels that the Federal Reserve would like to see, as well as that's healthy for the overall economy. The downside is that, when we saw that rapid inflation over the last couple of years, we're just at a higher level of prices. So you could slow the rate of growth, but if your level is meaningfully higher, it's still high prices. But we believe the worst on the inflation front is behind us, except the one of the largest components of inflation, housing, will still maybe show the numbers are somewhat higher, but otherwise that beyond housing, inflation looks to be back where it's healthy for the economy.
It's an election year. So that means it's an election year for not just the US president, but for every single member of the legislature here in Idaho. So I want to start with this question, Jason. How does that affect the economy as a whole?
Historically, it's had really no impact. The economy, the U.S. economy, is large and driven by consumer spending. So, if a certain party is in office or gets kicked out of office, for the most part, there isn't a major impact. The only time you see major impacts from election is if they're, especially on the national level, if there's one party in charge and they implement, major policies that affect the economy. And that's only happened a few times in the last 20 years. But otherwise that it's, the US economy is a big battleship, and it's hard to move it meaningfully in a short period of time.
So, in your opinion, then, when we look at what party is in power, it can have an impact on capital markets, but it's not necessarily likely, unless I would assume if we're looking from a federal level that, one party has the presidency, the House, and the Senate. And then you're going to see potentially a lot of movement in the markets. Is that an accurate assessment?
It's you could. I'll leave it at that. It depends on all the policies that they get through. If you look back, the kind of couple major policies of one-party rule, let's say, were the tax cuts under Trump, which gave some stimulus into the economy, but deficit spent. And Republicans immediately lost the Senate the very next election. And then the Affordable Care Act under President Obama, when the was implemented, that was very transformative. And then the Democrats immediately lost. So these policies can come into place, and even on the margin, you may see some sectors of the economy with more impact, but something major for the economy has to be very large and ingrained into the system.
Okay. So before I let you go, I know that you've been looking a little bit into AI or artificial intelligence. So what are you seeing? I mean, from a really big kind of macro standpoint.
It's going to be transformative. I mean, we're looking at it like the internet coming in back in the late
Oh,
90s.
wow.
There's a lot of investment, and a lot of companies are looking at it and trialing it, investigating how they can use it. And the key is it's going to raise productivity. And so while there's a lot of concern about it, corporations, if they use it and use it correctly, you can raise productivity and reduce costs. One of my favorite stories just is Walmart implemented an AI tool online, and you could type in, I want to plan a tailgate for the football game, and they will give you a shopping list rather than you
Oh,
having to
wow.
go through and pick everything out. So does that mean you spend more? Probably. Does that mean it's more efficient for Walmart? So tools like that are going to be convenience for the consumer as well as, more profitable for the company. So, well, it's going to be a multi-year, process, but I think it's exciting rather than, the fear that some have voiced.
Well, it's interesting too when you talk about that fear, right? I also think it's generational because I have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old, and let me tell you what, they have no fear of artificial intelligence. So we all have to get on board with it, is what I have found.
Exactly. Yeah, the younger generation really, the technology is fascinating. And my daughter is a graduate student. The main concern right now is, using AI to write papers and track and finding the plagiarism. So you take the good
Exactly.
with the bad.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Jason, as always, it's such a pleasure to have you on. Really appreciate your perspective on all of this.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed. Because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to Life Kit from NPR.